Everybody get their naps in? Good, good. You're about to get it in right now. Oh, man. All right, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 8. While you're turning there, announcements. We've got door knocking this Sunday after church, 2 o'clock. And I think that's it. I think that's the announcement. Door knocking, 2 o'clock this Sunday. All right, Philippians 4, 8. This is about your thought life. Paul dealing with Philippians who are scared, who are anxious, who are nervous, who are confused, who are worried. And so it gives them this instruction. And the reason that they are all those things, there's, like the Bible says, fears without, fightings within, or fightings without, fears within, however it goes in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And so they're worried. They don't see, Paul isn't there with them, and just worried about people they care about and things like that. And so Paul gives this instruction. We'll just deal with verse 8. Because there's so much in the Bible about your thoughts and your thought life. It really directs your course of life. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Contrary to thinking on the fears without, the fightings within, or the fightings without and the fears within and all that stuff. Contrary to thinking all those things and worrying yourself sick, whatever's true, whatever is honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, get your mind on those things, because it's really going to, the way your mind is and the way our minds are, that really directs your life. So we'll pray and we'll deal with your thought life tonight. Father, I thank you so much for a good time this morning with the guys. Lord, I thank you for your words. Lord, just going through this study, and Lord, without your words, we have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what the truth is. We have no idea who to believe. No idea. So I thank you for your words. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for each soul that is here tonight. And I beg you, please, to feed your flock tonight, to minister your words to some folks that have probably got off work and tired, and others who have a fairly decent trip home. And Lord, I pray you would make it worth their while to be here tonight, and you would get involved in this, and you would speak, and you would instruct, and you'd help us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, like I said, the Philippians are, as far as the context of this, they are worried. They got problems all around them. You remember when Paul went to Philippi, that was where he went into got thrown in jail, one of the places he got thrown in jail. The Philippian jailer gets saved. Philippi was the place that when they got there, they had this little devil-possessed girl following them around and stuff like that. But lots of things happen. Lydia's there. Lydia gets saved and houses them. And there's just a lot of, it's such a big city. Lots of stuff going on there. Such a hub of activity. And so with all that going on, Paul gives some instruction on what to think about. The Bible is very clear about the importance of thought life, and really You look at the way the world is and the way the devil works. Almost everything is about controlling the way and implementing and directing the way your thoughts go. You watch TV, it's all about how to think about things. It's the perspective. It's here's this thought, here's my opinion. Here's a movie to watch that'll make you think about this. Here's the video games to play, so your mind will be filled with this imagination. And so it's all these things that revolve around your imagination, your thought life, and those things. And eventually, the way it is the way a person thinks. The Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." I won't show you the verse in Proverbs, but that's where it comes from. Proverbs 23 says, "As a man thinketh, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And that is the reality of everybody. I remember as a kid, you know, we would watch some scary movie or something, and I would be scared all night and be up and be restless and think there's things under my bed and think there's things in my closet. And the only reason I had those thoughts is because somebody put them there. That's the only reason I had those thoughts. And the only reason I was unsettled was because I had unsettling thoughts that were put into my mind. Not willingly. I mean, I want to watch the show. I want to watch the show. And I mean, it is as a man thinketh, as he thinketh, so is he. You're happy. A person is happy. You're happy because you have happy thoughts. You're sad when you have sad thoughts. You're angry when you have angry thoughts. You're bitter when you have bitter thoughts. You know what that is? That's as a man thinketh. That's what he is. That's how he is. And so Paul says, look, think about these things. Get your mind off of the stuff you are thinking about, because here's the way your imagination and my imagination works as well. In the absence of information, your mind goes to the worst possible case scenario. All right? Some of you are very familiar with doctors, and when you go and get a test and the doctor says, come see me on Monday, and that's all you get, well, your mind says, he's going to tell me I'm going to die. Well, that's what you think. I've obviously got cancer. This is why he's not telling me right now. They're trying to figure out how they can say this. They're trying to figure out the treatments. They're trying to figure these things out. The point is, in the absence of information, your imagination and my imaginations are just evil. They just think evil things. And the only way to prevent or to get ahead of that is to put good stuff into your mind. So you don't let your imagination work. I remember when I was a kid, I don't know how old I was, but I'm laying in bed, and I don't know if we had watched scary movies. I don't remember all the things we did, but the mind is incredibly powerful, but I'm laying in bed. I have this dream about some monster under my bed and on the wall. And I wake up and there's this shadow on the wall and it's like this and it's going like this. And I'm awake and it's... And my mind, I'm just like, oh, what is that? What is that? You know what it is? It's a tree limb outside with the light coming through. But you know what I thought it was? A monster. You know why I thought that? Because that's what was in my mind. That was my imagination. And I had the wrong perspective on it. And adults do the same thing, not just children. This is why it's so important. You have got to get God's perspective, or you and I have no idea what's going on. And our eyes will play tricks on us. That's why magic works. Because your eye will fill in information that's not there and you'll assume things that aren't real. Your ears will play tricks on you. I know I heard him say that. I know he's talking about me. I know he's talking about me over there. All of that stuff can be prevented when you put good thoughts and think on the right things. Don't let the evil imagination go to work. So Here's a couple thoughts about imagination and thoughts in general, and then we'll deal with these specifics here. Number one, go to Genesis chapter 6. Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 6. The mind is incredibly powerful. It is incredibly powerful to direct your emotions, to control how you feel about things, because the mind will frame things in a certain way, and you will have feelings about how that's framed. Oh, I know he's talking about me. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, but that's how we frame things. Oh, I know what they're up to. They're doing something over there. I don't know who knows what they're doing. But your mind will fill that in for you, and you'll have an emotional response to that. Your heart rate may go up, and you just, you know, I know what they're thinking. I know what they're doing. Look at this. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Before God floods the world, this is his testimony, his account, and his perspective of mankind. Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know what God's up against? A wicked imagination and evil thoughts continually. And he can't change their mind, and they're not going to change their mind, so he's going to start over. Because the mind is only evil continue. Why is it that we find so much entertainment in people dying? You know, you watch the movies, and the entertainment is shoot them up, kill them all, good guys win, bad guys lose, and that's entertainment. Or you know, the video, the point of view video games, and the, I don't know what they are now, but the games where you're killing people, and then people who watch these things go in and do these things, and we wonder why they do these things. They've been doing them for years. They've just been pretending to do them so that it doesn't have any consequences, and they still don't think it has any consequences. And so the imagination, even before the flood here, God says the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. That's all man thought about. That's all man consumed his thought life with. Evil. The thoughts of his heart. So God, as you know the story, God destroys the world with a flood in Noah's day. And he destroys the world with a flood because man's thoughts are just evil. And he won't go away from the evil thoughts. And he's not going to change his thinking. When Paul gives advice about how you bring your body into subjection, how you understand the will of God in Romans chapter 12, anybody remember how he said to do that? He said, by the renewing of your mind. And then he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? How do you be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. That's the only way to make this thing straighten out. Why? Because if the thoughts are wrong, the actions are going to be wrong. He says that over in Ephesians. He talks about being renewed in your mind. He talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about how the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. They just all the stuff they think is important isn't really that important, and the stuff they don't think is important is actually important. I mean, we're talking about today in men's group and just trying to get people's minds off of the physical, carnal life they live and onto eternal matters is almost impossible with some people. Their mind is just, the only perspective they have is what's in their eyes and what's in their ears and what they can put their hands on. And that's the only perspective that's real to them. And they ignore God's perspective. So here is the importance of a thought life. So with all those things said, I'll go through this, I guess, try to go through it quickly. Go back over to Philippians and we'll see what Paul said. You ought to think about it. So he says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and we'll just take, there's six of them, and we'll just take them as they come here. True thoughts. Think on true thoughts. What is something that is, how would you define true? Well, true is defined, it's in accordance, here it is, this is the Webster's dictionary definition. True is to be in accordance with the actual state of things. So the way the thing is actually is to be in accordance with the way it actually is. Here's the opposite of that. You know, that's the definition. Here's the opposite of that. In Revelation, he says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but you don't know that you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. Meaning, you have no idea what the actual state of things are. And the reason you have no idea what the actual state of things are is because you won't listen to me. You're looking at all the stuff you have. And you think, because of all this stuff you have, you're in a good condition. And he says, you don't have any idea that you're poor and miserable and wretched and blind and naked. So, to think on something that's true, the only way to think on something that's true in the actual state of it is to get God's opinion of the actual state of it. When I say opinion, I mean it's whatever God thinks about it, that's reality. And whatever my eyes think about it, it don't really make any difference. If I see something and God says, I didn't see it, you know what? I didn't see it. You know what he says in Colossians? He says, he talks about people who look into angels and they see, I think it's in Colossians 3 or 4, but he says that they look into things that they don't know anything about. Muhammad, Islam, Joe Smith, Mormons. You know how those things start? Somebody said they saw an angel. You know what God said? You didn't see any angels. You don't know what you're talking about. He said, your fleshy mind is puffed up. You think you see things that you don't see. And he says, I'm telling you, you didn't see that. But in order to magnify who you are, you said, you know what I saw? I saw an angel. And you know what that angel told me? He told me to tell you. You know what solves that? This. You know what I know about you? You didn't see an angel. You know what I know about you? That angel didn't tell you anything. The thoughts are incredibly, they're powerful. Sometimes you believe your own thoughts. You ever wake up in a sweat from a nightmare? You know what you did? You believed what you were in. You know what wasn't real? Whatever you were in wasn't real. I mean, our thoughts are so powerful. They will control your blood flow. They'll control your heart rate. They'll control your emotions. You want to be sad? Well, you think you want to be miserable about the world? Well, think about all the bad stuff going on in the world, and you will be miserable. You want to think about you want to have a joyful life? Well, think about Jesus Christ. Think about some things He's doing. Think about all the blessings we're talking about in prayer this morning, and praying and the being thankful and praising God in prayer, and you know, not being so me oriented and gimme, but being thankful and remembering what He's actually done, because the millions of prayers I prayed before are just kind of in one ear. I mean, just out of my mouth, and I don't even remember how many He's actually answered. It was something the other day. So Monday I was praying about something, and by the afternoon it was answered. And I just remember, just like it was nice that it was answered, but it was like a punch to the gut. Like, man, God is so good. I mean, how little I concern myself with Almighty God, who is so good. He's answered my prayer here, and I mean, I was like, I just need to spend so much more time with Him. It is. You want to have some true thoughts? Well, spend some time in the truth. Spend some time around the truth. You know, we spend some time around all these lies. You know, that's how there is. And the reason I'm, I don't know. Maybe I always talk fast and preach. I don't know. But there's so much in the Bible about your thought life. There's so much in here about it. It is incredible. You know what the devil did in the Garden of Eden? Here's God's command. You can have anything you want in here. Just don't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from that one. Stay away from it. The devil's over there. He didn't say all that, but I imagine he wanted to put a fence around it because he knew something was up over there around the tree. So he said, stay away from that tree. Don't eat of it. That was the specific command. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why would you need it anyway? The only benefit to it is you already know what's good. The only benefit to it is you find out what's evil. You don't need to know what's evil. There's no win to this. And so the devil comes along and he just kind of reframes that whole thing. He takes God's command and he makes God out to be a bad guy who really doesn't like Adam and Eve, even though he's created Adam and Eve and given them everything. And he makes this whole thing. And you know what he did? He gave Adam and Eve an evil thought about God's command. And he reframed it in an evil way. And the way he did that was, he said, you know, God knows in the day you eat this, you'll be like Him. And He doesn't want you like Him. He wants you to stay in your condition here, and he knows what'll happen if you eat, and he knows it would be for your benefit, but he's kind of a mean old grouch. And so I'm sure the devil takes some of that fruit and starts eating some of it. He says, this stuff, it's good. I mean, doesn't it look good? It tastes good. I mean, it's not doing anything to me. It's not hurting me any. Come on, Eve, it's good. And before you know it, she eats and Adam eats. Why? Because he changed how they thought about God's command. He just reframed the whole thing to a different perspective. The thoughts are so important, true thoughts. And if you get away from God's words, the thoughts you have guaranteed will not be true thoughts. We know how the imagination works. So truth is to be, it's in accordance with the actual state of things. You know who's true? He said, let God be true and every man a liar. You know what that means? When some man shows up and says, hey, I found some evidence that God didn't really create everything. You know what the answer is? Let God be true and every man a liar. You can take your evidence and go on home. You don't have any idea what you're talking about. Because the Creator told us how this all worked out. And whatever you think you have, you may even believe you have it. But the problem is you're not comparing it to anything true. And so what you have is a lie in your hand or in your mind, and you're not comparing it with the truth, you're retaining this lie. But you say, let God be true, but every man a liar. There's true, God is true. That's something that's true, someone that's true. There's true holiness. He says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, I mean, there's true holiness and there's probably some false holiness. Don't you, if you watch the news or... Don't you kind of get tired sometimes of people who who want to kill babies and save whales, lecturing you about what's good and what's right. So they have a form of holiness, but it's not true holiness. I mean, that's why God defines there's true holiness, because there's also a false sense of holiness. Just because some guy puts on a collar doesn't mean he's holy. Just because someone stands behind a pulpit, and really nobody stands behind a pulpit's holy. I mean, it's not. Jesus Christ is holy. But just because someone pretends to be righteous like a Pharisee, that doesn't mean they're righteous because they put on a show. True holiness, that God is true. There's holiness that's true. There's true grace. True light, just like there's false light. There's true judgments, just like there's false judgments. So Paul said, whatsoever things are true, think on those things. You know what it'll keep you from? Being deceived. Keep you from getting attached to things that are lies. It'll keep you from straying from God's word. Keep you from straying from following the Holy Spirit of God. Whatsoever things are true, that's what you ought to think about. Judgments, true judgments. The Bible says thy judgments, true and righteous are thy judgments. There's a lot of judgments going on. I mean, we make judgments every day. People have a moral compass of some kind. They think something. You know, everyone is, all these people that say, you know, the truth is, it's my truth. Or, you know, what is your truth? What is your truth? I don't know if that's a big deal now. For a while, it was, you know, what's your truth? You know, are you a man or a woman? What's your truth? What do you identify as? I won't say what they said for the camp. People make judgments all the time, though. That doesn't mean they're true judgments. You can make an emotional judgment. You can make a judgment based on what you thought you saw or what you thought you heard. The point is, you get it away from God's word. God's word is true. Whatsoever things are true, think about those things. Because the minute you start giving place to lies, just like Eve, you're no better off. You don't have the strength to fight that. You just be deceived. The only thing that keeps you and I from being deceived is the truth. It's the only thing. All right, so whatsoever things are true, and I'll try to go through these faster. Honest is the second one. Honest is to be fair in dealing with others, free from trickery and fraud. The Pharisees were known for their we know them, looking back in the Bible, for their dishonesty. They portrayed something that they weren't. They put on a show and they weren't what they said they were. Now they believed they were what they said they were. And they were blind to their own sin. Whatsoever things are honest. He says over there in 2 Corinthians, he says, but we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. What is that? That's stuff you did in the dark. Now you have a God that you know watches you. And so these hidden things of dishonesty, what is that? Those are hidden things of dishonesty so you don't put on a show for somebody and then go off into the closet and do something else. He says, now that you're saved, you put away those things. Deal honestly. When they were looking for deacons in Acts chapter 6, one of the things that was a requirement there, he says, look out among you seven men of honest report. People who are honest. People who have that reputation of being exactly what they say they are. People who, and honesty has to do with your dealings with other people. He talks about providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. See, that all that stuff has to do with your relationship with other people and whether you're a hypocrite, whether you're putting on a show or whether you are who you say you are. Honesty. Honesty. So whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Just is to be, it's balance. It's to be exactly proportioned and proper. It's the right balance of things. So the idea is the scales aren't tipped in your favor in any way. The Bible says of Joseph, it says, when he found out about Mary, and he didn't know what the case was, he didn't know if she had been with another man or what the deal was, the Bible says Joseph was a just man, and he sought to put her away privately. The point was, he's going to treat her like he would want to be treated in that situation. That's justice. You think about how you want to be treated in that situation, that there you go. There's your standard. What do you say? You know, judge not, be not judged, all that stuff. You know what the measuring stick is? Well, how are you going to judge you? You take that measuring stick and put it up against somebody else. Because you know what we inevitably do? Judge everybody else with a different standard than we judge us. So he says, whatsoever things are just, think about those things. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Then he says, whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are pure. That is unmixed. It is something that's not diluted. Over and over it talks about pure gold on the tabernacle there. The Bible says the words of God are pure words. You can think on pure things and you can think on impure things. You can put your mind on filth, or you can put your mind on things that are pure. There is so much filth to put your mind on these days. And even back, I was reading a biography of John Dillinger. Anybody remember John Dillinger? Just, you know, FBI went after all that kind of stuff. So John Dillinger, and it's amazing, you know, all these criminals are heroes in the movies, you know. Criminals are the heroes. So John Dillinger, even back when he was, I can't remember the decade or the time he was growing up, early 1900s. But even in his time, he was, the biography's talking about before he was doing bad things very early on. And it was just a progression. But he was getting into pornography and stuff early on. And so this stuff was in his mind, and this is how he was living these things out, because he keeps pouring them into his mind. And then one thing is not enough. Now you've got to take it a step further to get the thrill. Now you got to take it a little bit further to get the thrill. Now that thrill's not enough. Now you got to take another step to get the thrill. And so this was just one example, but now it's just everywhere. I mean, the access to filth is anywhere and everywhere. It's going to take a very dedicated and specific decision on your part and my part. If you're going to think about something pure, you're going to have to do it on purpose. You might have to turn something off, or you might have to get away from something to think about pure things. But guarantee you follow that line of filth. It is I remember we were talking about there was a fellow, or a couple of fellows, the kids that were in trouble with the law, and I was talking to one of the fellows in the sheriff's department or something like that. Anyway, these kids have been getting in trouble over time. You know, it starts with small stuff, just simple stuff. You know, you get in trouble, you steal candy from a store or something like that. But you keep doing that stuff. And then over time, you got to do more. You got to get something bigger. Then it goes to auto theft. And then that's not enough. Now you got guns around, and now you're going to have to shoot somebody to get the thrill. The mind is just an abyss if it's not directed in the right direction. The emotions are just an abyss if they have no direction given to them. So Paul says, look, you guys think about these things. Think about things that are true. Think about things that are honest. Think about things that are just. Think about things that are pure. Think about things that are lovely. You guys in Philippi, you're so worried and consumed with anxiousness and nervousness. Think about some things that are lovely, that have a good connotation to them. When you're praying, you know, all the good things that Jesus Christ has done for you. All the things that God has done for you. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, he's altogether lovely. Every part of him is lovely. Then he says, whatsoever things are of good report. Isaiah asked this, he said, who hath believed our report? Remember that? That is the preacher's verse after every sermon. Who hath believed our report? there is a time when these spies come back. Remember, they go to the promised land and they come back. 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. This is a VBS song. Some saw, some saw giants, big and strong. Some saw grapes with clusters long. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. So some saw the giants. And when they saw the giants, they forgot about God. Soon they saw the giants, oh no, there's no way we can do this. Others saw the land and they saw the grapes. And they saw God was in it, and they said, yeah, this is ours, Joshua and Caleb. What's the value of thinking on things that have a good report? You remember what that evil report did to the entire group of people of Israel? Those 10 men brought back an evil report, and everybody in Israel started grumbling and complaining and said, why has God brought us here? Why? Because they focused on an evil report and they forgot the good report. They listened to the evil report and they forgot the good report that God said, go in and get the land. It's your land. It's my decision to move these cultures out of this land and put you there. Good report. Hebrews 11, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. He says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That's the end of Hebrews. Good report. It's interesting what we call, here's a good report. Versus, when you watch the news, it's called reporting. The evening report, or this report, or this guy works for the news channel and he's a reporter. So they're all bringing a report of some kind, and it's affecting you and how you think. It's affecting how you feel. It's affecting, you know, are you sad? Are you tired? Are you getting... Is it getting old listening to these reports? Yeah, probably. So you know what he said? Whatsoever things are of good report. Think about those things. Put your mind on those things. To sum it all up, this is the thought life. And there are two overarching principles about all of this. Number one, I guess you could say it this way, you kind of are what you think. Not that you can do what you think. Some people say, well, if you just believe, you can do it. Yeah. You just believe, if you believe you can fly and you jump off this roof, guaranteed you're hitting the ground. Guaranteed. You can't do everything you believe you can do. But if you think about bad stuff all the time, you know what you'll feel? Bad. If you think about sad stuff all the time, you know how you'll feel? Sad. You think about happy things all the time, you know how you'll feel? Happy. As a man is, or as a man thinks, so is he. Philippians, here's some thoughts. Think about these things. Secondly, if you don't get out ahead of your imagination will fill in the blanks with evil stuff. If you're not putting good stuff in, your mind will fill in the blanks and it won't be good. It will start filling it. You know, it's probably, you're probably going to die in a week. You know what's going to, the doctor's not telling you, it's because it's all coming in. I mean, everybody's going to die. I got to get my bunker built. If you don't get ahead of your imagination and my imagination is only evil. That's all it is. You know what this does? Number one, as a man thinks, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Number two, if you don't put something good in, your mind will fill in the blanks and it won't be good. The thought life is so incredibly important. It directs your activities, it directs how you feel, your emotions, and it directs whether you're going in the right way or the wrong way. Eve got the wrong perspective on God's command. And in getting the wrong perspective, she went the wrong direction. You ignore God's command, you get the devil's perspective on it, you go the wrong direction. The thought life is incredibly important. And the only way to guard and to govern that thought life, good thoughts, true thoughts, pure thoughts, good report, lovely thoughts, put those things in for a while. See how you feel. See if it doesn't change your emotional state. See if it doesn't change the decisions you make. That's what Paul's trying to do with the Philippians. You guys think about some better things, man. I'm not there with you. I can't help you from far away. Put your mind on some good stuff. Stop worrying about all the things going on. Stop concerning yourself with all the fightings out and the fears within. Put your mind on Jesus Christ. Put your mind on God's Word. Think about those things. Let those things direct your imagination. That'll help you.